Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have an amazing show for you today? Yes, I do. I'm going to go ahead and answer my own question. If you are watching the show live on our Facebook page at the Roundtable Talk Show, please go ahead and share this page because friends do not let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. Our conversations are so educational yet entertaining, they'll be mad if they miss it. I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to our first guest. Our first guest is Mr. Josh Eberle. Josh is the CEO of Conklin Media. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good morning, and thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today and just get really into what's happening in this crazy world that we're in right now.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about Conklin Media, Josh, please.
Sure. So we are a mid-sized marketing agency based in Lancaster, PA. And we're really focused on helping businesses grow. So when you think about digital marketing in general or an agency in general, you usually have some kind of idea of what services they provide to you. And we've really come at it in a different light and different perspective. We're really focused on business growth. So we connect with C-level executives or entrepreneurs and really work with them to help them understand how digital marketing can actually drive revenue and help growth in their company.
Have you pivoted during this time frame and found another direction?
We have. So when COVID first came out, I know I'm sure everybody else on here was shocked as well. And really everybody in the business community was kind of like, where is this going? We had no idea about, you know, what was going to happen as far as regulations, if business was going to be open or not. And we as a business kind of took some action right away. So our first steps was to send a letter out to all of our partners. You know, we wanted to reassure them and make sure that they understood that we are in the situation that they're in and help them understand that like we're actively looking to pivot for them. The second thing that we did was we were very proactive with our partners about trying to get them to adapt to new technology. So a lot of our partners had only ever sold, you know, in a retail space or a person-to-person space. And when you're not able to do that, you know, you're physically stuck in your home, you can't go meet people, you can't shake hands, you know, how do you sell product? How do you actually move anything? And so we've really started pushing people down the route of let's take everything online, digital, for at least 2 months here. Let's go all in. Let's generate leads online. Let's set appointments virtually. Let's do webinars online. And let's really try to get this digital sales funnel flowing for you so that when, you know, we kind of reopen here, you know, the world's not going to go back 100% to what it was before. So when we reopen here, you have a revenue stream for your business that's totally online that if COVID was to, you know, re-flare up or something else come along for your business, you wouldn't be completely out of luck.
That's great advice. Great advice. Oh, I love when I love the order sometimes. It's like you start the conversation somewhere, we introduce the rest of the guests, and who knows where it's going to go. I have so many questions for you, Jeff, Josh, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, who this is what he does, podcasting, broadcasting. He helps people in this area, Mr. Samari Coles, and he is a studio owner, music producer of Little Drummer Boy Productions, and he also specifically works with home-based engineers. Good morning, Samari. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am well. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on your platform. Good morning, Josh, Rhea, and Chandra. So Little Drummer Boy Recordings is a recording studio. This is our 20th year in business. We're based in Philadelphia. So we record, we mix, we master music-based products as well as podcasts and audiobooks. And we also train home-based engineers in audio engineering, music production, and the music business. One of our current services is called Home Studio Tutor, and people can reach that at homestudiotutor.com. And there we provide coaching and helping home-based engineers kind of navigate setting up their home studios. What software do they need? What technologies? What hardware do they need? And really helping them set up their systems on a budget. And particularly today, in this moment we're in and everything being virtual, we're really helping a lot of people understand how to get the best quality audio on a budget and really you know, again, it's all about achieving a great sound. And so that's really what we're all about. So folks can find us again at homestudiotutor.com/coaching if they're interested in understanding more about setting up their podcast, their audiobooks, what software, what technologies they need. And that's really what we're all about, Sharifa.
Mm. So let me just ask you, with Home Studio Tutor, with this tutoring service that you offer, is this something new as a direct result of the demand, or have you had this website for years?
Well, homestudiotutor.com launched in April, but it's been in development actually for a couple of years. And it just coincided with this moment where everything is virtual. So it was kind of perfect timing, but it allowed us to really pivot and really be ready for where we're at today.
That's interesting. I had another guest on the show who wrote a book for companies to help them teach their employees how to work from home. And it was so interesting that her book was released in March, but she had been planning the book release, you know, and had nothing to do with COVID-19. I was like, that's a perfect storm. We were talking earlier before the show about Zoom and how Zoom stock increased by over 500%. And I know the demand for podcasting has also increased immensely. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. So we're going to talk a little bit more about you and what you have going on. I just want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Rhea Jane. And she is, I'm not going to pronounce it because everyone knows I messed everything up. I don't want to butcher your company's name, Rhea, but you're an outsourcing firm. That's what you specialize in. Please tell us about your company.
Firstly, thank you so much for having me here. And Namo Padmavati, what we do is that we try to kind of help all the entrepreneurs and busy professionals out there with all the non-core activities so that they only have to focus on the main decision-making aspect of the business. And this allows them with a lot of time to invest, you know, with families on other decision-making part, and it is super cost effective. So this is what I have been doing. And my main goal is to help all the entrepreneurs and business owners as much as I can with all the non-core activities.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in business?
It's been 2 years now. And it's been 2 years.
Okay. So in the past 2 years, what are some of the adjustments that you made and what are some of the things that you learned to help entrepreneurs to be able to be successful in this during this time?
When I started, I just had one computer and an internet connection and basic computer skills. When I started working with entrepreneurs, when I started understanding what tools we use, what, you know, how to be with them, how to communicate with them, that's when I started learning a lot of stuff, you know. The adjustments I made are like, I didn't want to focus on one thing or one service because I want to be like a package. My company wants to be like a package for an entrepreneur. They don't have to go for another shop or another, you know, company sort of thing. So there were a lot of adjustments here and there, and that's how we came out.
Now, you say that you want entrepreneurs to be able to go to your business and you be able to assist them. What are some of the must-haves for an entrepreneur?
Also, the must-have for entrepreneur is an idea and determination to execute it. That's it. What happens is that people have so many ideas, but they're like, okay, you know, we'll think about it and stuff. But in this business, if you want to hire a virtual assistant, you need to have a certain set of tasks that you want to delegate. You want to be sure of what you're gonna do. Let the output be good, bad, or you know, you're just trying things out. But I think any entrepreneur should definitely have, should be very focused on what they want to achieve hiring me, you know, something like that.
Great answer. I know we're going to ask a couple of other of our panelists the same questions because entrepreneurs, in my experience, being a business consultant, when they come to me, they always have this idea they need this or they need that. And most entrepreneurs can literally start a business with a domain name and a WordPress, you know, get the website up, get the idea up, as opposed to feeling like you need to save $20,000 or you have to have $50,000 before you start your business. Almost everything online you can find either free or low cost. I always tell people there are plenty of websites PR Web used to be a free website. BlogTalkRadio.com used to be a free website. Now they have minor fees, but for less than $30 a month, you can at least have a business. I'm not saying quit your day job, but what I am saying, you don't have to have hundreds and thousands of dollars in order to be an entrepreneur, which brings me to my next guest plural, who I just love to death. I love when our guests are here before and then they're like, okay, I had a great time, I want to come back. Or maybe they didn't have such a great time, but there's more information that they wanted to share. And I like when I meet people and the information they provide, and I'm like, these people are doing it right. So I want to introduce you to two people, a partnership team with PR Collective DC, Chandra Gore and Camille Davis. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
I guess we're going to start with Chandra. Good morning, Chandra.
Good morning.
You look amazing. We are wonderful. Good morning, Camille.
Good morning. Thank you for having us back. We had, like you said, such a great time that we have to come and visit every month if you allow us to.
You can come back every week if you want to. I love having regular people here. Come back. I'm telling you, grab your seat today, AskSharifa.com. But it's a beautiful thing to have regular guests because then you can refer back to another conversation. Because I remember the show that you were on, and we were talking about publicity. We were talking about the message, changing the message up. And that's something that's still going on today. So tell us a little bit about PR Collective DC, whether it's Chandra, Camille.
Well, I would say the PR Collective DC was birthed because we both found that there was a missing link in collaborations over competition. So we got together and joined forces because we both have a background in public relations. But we also have other things that we bring to the table. So we would join forces and be able to serve larger companies and larger entities with what we've done. And also hopefully, branch off to other cities to help other PR firms come together and work together and get things done.
Absolutely. Camille?
Absolutely. We're really focusing on helping brands position themselves, particularly in this time. The pandemic has affected so many businesses. So, our day-to-day is really, trying to get placements and exposure for brands. But as you guys know, it's been quite a challenge lately. So, the magic word, pivot. That's all we've been doing over at the PR Collective.
So I'm 44, so my memory's not what it used to be, but if memory serves me, when we were on the last show, one of the questions we asked you, Camille, was with your clients, have you been working with them to change their message? Because one of the things that happened is a lot of businesses went from the hardcore sell, like buy now, get here, click here, to the soft, let me help you, let me be of service, we are here with you. Have you worked with your clients to change the message, or did I just dream that up?
No, I think that's perfect. Yesterday we had a client that was on NBC News, and we were talking about how important it is to serve the community at this time. One in particular, we represent various industries, one of which is tourism. So we have a restaurant under us that's in what we would like to call a food desert. They're surrounded by fast food. Obviously that's the easiest and fastest option, but to be in business during a pandemic and to be able to provide fresh food and support local vendors and local farmers during this time is really what their message needs to be. A lot of small businesses are struggling, but there are small businesses such as Blue Waters, which is the name of the client, that's able to put other people in position and put other people in business. So that's how we've been kind of trying to change the conversation with them. And like you said, that's what it's about. It's about how are we serving the community? How are we serving the people on the front lines? How can we come together as a community during the pandemic? That's how the message has changed.
So Chandra, let me just ask you, with changing the message, one of the things that I've noticed, at least here, I live in the 6th district of Long Beach, and our councilman is sending out emails, and in the emails, one of the things that they focus on is supporting the local businesses. When I look on Facebook, on social media, at the news, it's these are local businesses that you can support. Is this something that you're discussing with the clients as well, supporting local businesses?
Yes, I am, because some of the I support a nonprofit. I work for them and getting their message out. They have teen boys who are in a STEM program, so they do the 3D printing. So they've been printing the hooks for the masks and stuff like that. So they're changing their message to support the frontline workers and stuff like that. And then also, my accountant as well, she's changing the way that she's doing things by assisting small businesses and helping them get to where they need to go when it comes to the PPP loans and stuff like that. So she's reaching out to the smaller businesses who don't have the support that they need so that they can, so the message is there that she's here to help. They're all here to help. So the message has totally changed so that they can go out and be more supportive of the community that they're in.
Excellent. Yes. So the message, I guess the overall theme is the here to help. So many people are here to help. So one of the things that we mentioned earlier with Samari is the whole aspect of the increase in podcasting, because more people are home, more people have more time. Even if they're still working a job, maybe they don't have that 1 hour each way commute. I know here in Los Angeles, the 405 freeway, even if it's 15 minutes away, it's still going to take you an hour to get there. So more people have more time available. So they're looking at different options. Have you seen an increase, Samori, in podcasters during this epidemic? And what has been your response to them?
What's been interesting is yes, podcasting has grown, but it's really been the reality that more people are streaming, more people are just streaming. And so for me, I get a lot of questions about how can I have, a better quality stream. For example, anybody that watched the Teddy Riley and Babyface battle on Instagram, or Jill Scott and Erykah Badu. With Teddy Riley, the big thing was the audio quality. So you just see people doing a lot of virtual streaming, virtual classes. Everybody's doing it right now. And the way that I see it, this is a new reality for us. This isn't going to be a one-time thing. I think it's smart for all business owners at this moment in time to make this, virtual services platform a huge part of your business. I own a brick and mortar in Philadelphia. We haven't been working since March 16th. That's when the mayor of Philadelphia basically said, hey, you have to shut your doors. So we had to, again, that word pivot. We teach classes at our studio. So we, as many students of ours that were interested in going virtual, we did that. We also record a number of bands and musicians and that type of thing. So what we did is we knew that, hey, we couldn't physically record your music, but what if we tell you how to record your music yourself, and then you send us the finished recording so that we can do the post-production. And so I think as businesses, that's the way we have to look into the future. For me now, I'm looking at a future for my company where, we want our revenues from the online, market to be at least 60% of our business in a year. And because we don't know what's going to happen, this pandemic is going on now. I just saw something today that said the California State University, which is the largest university system in the country, is going to be having most of their classes in the fall online. I mean, that's huge. And I think we all are going to have to get used to this reality. And again, Sharifa, it's podcasting, but it's also streaming and understanding what technologies can we use? One of the, I think, most important pieces of technology that we can all purchase is something called an audio interface. That's going to give you the ability to plug a microphone into your computer so that when you're on Zoom or if you're streaming live, you can get a better quality audio product. There's even a product called an iRig, which is about a $30 to $40 investment that you can plug into your iPhone. And then if you want to play your music, if you're a DJ or you're a producer, your music is going to go directly to the listeners as opposed to being heard in your room. So again, for me, it's all about helping my clients to achieve quality with what they're doing, because these are just the times we're living in, and we really have to be prepared for where we're going.
You didn't see me, Samori, but I was over here taking notes. I said, audio interface, iRig. I don't have an iPhone, but I'm like, I know there's something like that for an Android. So by the time, maybe not tomorrow, but give me a week for shipping, you're going to see a whole different platform. I'm going to have my mic just like Samori right there. But it was something that you said about your personal pivot and being a brick and mortar. And I'm always so interested about companies who have brick and mortars and then go virtual. It's different. Like for me, you know, I've been working at home for years. Working at home is nothing new to me. The only time I really notice that we're in a global pandemic is when I try to go to the grocery store and I'm like, okay, there is a line a mile long and everyone has a mask on. That's when I know the world is doing what it's doing, but everything is pretty much the same. People who have brick and mortars, it wasn't just a pivot. It was like, oh my God, my world no longer exists. Yes. What do I do? When hearing you, and I'm going to be sexist for a minute, because I tell people out of all the things that I am very sexist. I'll be honest about that. So you just like men and in general, it's like, you're so calm. You like, I had a brick and mortar and then I just opened it up online. But what was that process like for you as a business owner? It could not have been, maybe it was, as easy as it appears.
Well, no, I mean, it hasn't been easy. You know, we have had a revenue drop, but the nature of my business, and I've been in business for over 20 years, the nature is very technological. So I've been, you know, involved in Zoom, and I've been involved with some of these online platforms and technologies for several years now. So I didn't have to go through kind of a learning curve to pivot. But it hasn't been easy. We have a staff of about 5 people that I've, you know, kept on payroll. And we're kind of doing the best that we can. But we were right in the midst of the launch of Home Studio Tutor, which I mentioned is the online platform where we're offering training, we're offering consulting to home-based engineers and producers. So, you know, I just really had to put my head down and keep working. And that's just the way that I've had to approach, you know, the whole thing. And I think we really have no choice. And for me, you know, my motto with my business has always been failure is not an option. So we just have to run with the times.
Yes, excellent. Failure is not an option. Josh, I know you work with a lot of companies as well. Did you have brick and mortar companies who had to make that pivot or transition to being virtual?
Yeah, we did. And that was a huge transition for a lot of them. Because unlike Samori, where he kind of talked about, he was already on the digital path. A lot of these our partners, they hadn't even started. So I was joking with someone the other day, and I was like, the first 2 weeks of, you know, the shutdown was like 2 weeks of snow days. Like people were working from home, but they had no idea like what the heck they're supposed to do and like how does Zoom work and all that stuff. And so what we kind of worked with our partners to do who are in the retail space is we shifted them massively to e-commerce or generation online on Facebook, you know, all PPC right away. So Facebook CPMs actually went down about 30%, you know, right when this all came out. So I know e-commerce stores, we have partners in the e-commerce side, they had record months because everyone's sitting at home and they're buying things, right? So our philosophy was, how do we take existing products or services that you might have in your business and we package them up, kind of like Samori said, where, you know, we're now offering packages where people can do it online at their house, you know, while they're either bored or looking for something to do. You know, how do we reposition our marketing for our service that it's an at-home product? It's easy to use with your kids. It's easy to use, you know, with your family. There's some benefit there. So a lot of the retail partners that we had to kind of rethink how their products were marketed and then, you know, launch some new channels online.
That's interesting, because one of the conversations that I had early on was, it seemed that the conversation changed. The initial question was, has your business been affected by COVID-19? And then it transitioned to, how has your business been affected by COVID-19? Because we saw that one way or another, every business, whether directly or indirectly, has been affected by COVID-19. So we just had to find a way to adjust. So with that said, do you see any product? I mean, I'm just, maybe this is, maybe you don't, but do you see any product that cannot, or service that cannot be, that cannot go virtual?
Yeah. So I think if you're in the B2C space, you know, a consumer good, you're doing well right now. You're probably good. You're positioned well. If you're in the B2B space, you know, it's a slog. You know, my sales guys and our sales team, they're out there, they're talking to people. And in some industries, if you're selling to other businesses, like right now, that's the last thing on their mind. You know, we were doing background checks service for one of our partners. And, you know, most businesses are just trying to figure out, am I going to get a PPE loan to stay open? Or, you know, am I even going to be open next week? So people aren't thinking about buying a lot of the like traditional business stuff right now, which is, you know, a really good time, like as Chandra was saying earlier with her company, is to invest in the long term of positioning and branding. I think, you know, I was fairly young during the last recession, but, you know, a lot of what I learned out of that was major companies were able to position themselves to grab market share during that time. Because what we've seen in some industries is that there used to be a lot of competitors advertising and now there's nobody, right? There's nobody there. And if you're the company that is empathizing with the situation, if you're putting your message out there, we're here to support, we're doing these good things, people are going to remember that. And so you might not see the sale now, you might not see it in 3 months, but in 6 to 12 months, you're definitely going to see a market movement for your business. And as an entrepreneur, you're always thinking a year, 2 years down the road. If you're just thinking about what's happening today, you're really at risk in your business for growth. Because you're just kind of surviving. You're not really thinking about growth and how do I grow my business in the future?
Through this process, and it may not even be just this process, but through your experience, have you seen any commonalities where you can advise business owners, you do these things, these two things, these four things, it'll lead to you being more successful as a virtual business?
Yeah, so the basis I always tell people is, you know, you need to get your business verified on Google My Business. You need to have a website and you need to have ways for people to contact you. You know, that's kind of the basics. So you'd be surprised how many business owners out there, they're not sure if people can do any of those things. So if you just get the basics out there, you know, you verify your business on Google. So people, they search you, you show up, you have your social profiles out there, you're off to a good start. After that, you know, I always recommend looking for professionals in your industry that have successfully marketed, right? So think of it when you're going out and you're looking for people to partner with, you know, you wanna go look for somebody who's done it in your industry, your niche, who has experience, who understands your market and can really help you expand your business.
I think that's wonderful, but I think it's also wonderful in the simplicity of it. You know, as a business consultant, I speak to so many business owners or entrepreneurs and they make it very difficult. And I always tell them that a website is nothing more than an electronic business card. That's all it is. You know, offline, I've seen a million different business cards, but they usually have what? The phone number, the website, you know, they have the information to contact them. You know, a website is the same thing. I've seen the most beautiful, attractive, you know, expensive websites that make a sale. And I've seen some websites that people will look at and go, this is the ugliest website in the world. And I've seen the back end and like, I'm like, you just made $1 million. And they're like, yeah, because it's the marketing. You know, marketing is key. Marketing is so important. You wouldn't go and buy 1,000 business cards and sit them on the shelf. We all know the point is to pass them out, to get them out. And it's the same thing with a website. So I love the information that you provided and the simplicity of it. I want to go over to Chandra for a minute because one of the things that we mentioned was the positioning and the branding for businesses. As a PR consultant, what is some of the advice you've been giving to your clients as far as the positioning and the brand during this time frame?
Well, I'm both. I'm a business consultant and a publicist. So it's kind of the duality that I walk in because sometimes they're not set up for the marketing aspect because their back house is just a wreck. So a lot of times I have to tell them to let's rein it in before we market you. And so everyone's like, oh, I just want to be seen. I have a logo. I'm ready to get out there. I'm like, how can you sell a product and you don't even have a shipping, a pipeline for your shipping. So it's more of, you know, making sure that everything is in place before they market. It's just so many different things that happen when a business markets. Like even right now, you see the marketing has changed so much. There's more, you'll see Charmin, or was it Cottonelle with Charmin? They did a, we're here for you. We're working hard to get the toilet paper back on the shelves. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, it's the compassionate marketing that's happening that, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of companies are not tapping into. So it's our job to go in and say, look, what is it that you can tap into that can connect you with your ideal client or your customer? Or your, you know, or your new customers. So those are the things that, in the marketing standpoint, it's like they don't want you to sell to them right now. So it's mm-hmm. like, I think that's where my mindset is right now. It's like I'm inundated with so many buy this, you know, buy that. This is what. And then on the flip side, it's how can we help you cope right now with COVID-19, or how can we help you, you know, cope with what's going on and all of that. So it's those types of things that are going, that as a publicist or, you know, digital market, it's a very fine line between selling and being compassionate. And that makes sense, you know?
No, it makes perfect sense. I think that's what we're discussing right now today. And you actually, I don't know if it is the term, but you gave it a term, because I've been asking the question.
That's the only thing I can put together.
No, compassionate marketing. I love it. Rhea, have you been speaking to your clients about compassionate marketing?
In this context, I have a different opinion. I think that marketing and all is like really, you know, it's good and it's important. But I think the most important is word of mouth. If you're very confident about your product, you don't have to worry about the marketing. It is secondary. For me, I got one client, and because of that one client, I got five others. So I think that having a website is important, having everything is important, but the most important thing is to have the, so if you're ready to purchase your own product, it means that you're doing great, you know. You just need that one person to understand your product or your service, and then you just go from there.
Mm-hmm. I think in disagreeing, you agreed, you know, and that's mainly because I always tell people there is no better marketing than word of mouth. I mean, I think that's marketing 101. Every large company tells you the same thing. They always try to get you to advise your friends or tell your friends. I'm the kind of person, if I'm buying something from a new company, I have no relationship with them, I'm going to call someone and go, hey, Samori, have you ever tried this coffee? And he's going to give me his opinion of it. But if I research it online, I want to see their website. In 2020, even back, you know, years ago, if you were in business, most other companies didn't see you or validate your business unless you had a website. I've gone to banks like Bank of America and did different processes, and they want to see your website. They want to see that you're an actual business. When people refer their friends, and if they can't find you online, I always tell people, not having a website can do more harm than good these days, because people want to know, why don't you have a website? Who are you hiding from? Why you don't want people to know how to find you? So even if you just have a landing page, have some business card where people can say, hey, I'm in business, I'm legit. I love what Josh was saying about the Google verification, because it says I'm verified, I'm here. This is who I am. And then there's a trust factor that people want to do business, even though they refer to you by their friends. So Maury, I wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know what? I believe that technology is the great equalizer. You know, we are small business owners who will compete with larger businesses, and using technology can actually allow you to appear as big as you want to appear. You know, I started out in the music industry in 96. And I actually went to college for business, for marketing and finance, got out of college, became a financial analyst with a Fortune 500 company. And after less than a year, I knew that I couldn't live my life in that cubicle. I knew that wasn't going to work for me. And I grew up creative, drums. See, I grew up playing the drums, being creative. And some of my buddies who were still in the neighborhood had kind of built these rudimentary home studios. And after one recording session, I knew that my life was going to change forever. So I was at a crossroads in life. I ended up getting accepted into the Wharton School. I came out to Philly. I did not go to Wharton. I embarked on the University of Music. You know, I just decided I'm going to pursue a career in the music industry. So when I got started, I didn't know anything. And Philadelphia is super competitive. And I set up my first website in the year 2000. And just setting up that website allowed us to have exposure and a presence that put us on par with some of the larger studios in the city. So I think technology is the great equalizer. I think social media is. And when you talk about the ability to scale your business, you know, I do believe that it is about that individual client. You know, you make that relationship with that client, and you nurture it. But if you want to scale your business, and if you want to grow your business and be perceived as large as your competition, I think having a website and being technologically savvy is critical.
Amen. I felt like I was in church there for a minute. That was great. I completely agree. And it is the great equalizer. I was talking to my cousin the other day about stores, like, because I want to go shopping. I love to shop. I actually saw this post I posted yesterday. It said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but don't buy anything else online. And I was like, that was me, because all I do is sit home and shop and order stuff. So we were speaking about Ross and, you know, their store, the clothing store, their store is closed. And it's like, okay, I can't wait for the store to come back. I came because I want to go buy clothes. But one of the reasons that they weren't able or haven't been able to make this pivot or transition is because there was really no Ross.com. They didn't sell online. There was a landing page, but now, even though they're a large chain store, they realize that they can't make it in the virtual world.
Like, how would they get that inventory up that fast? Like, they don't have workers inside the store. So each store, you know, everybody's been to Ross. Nothing is, you know, cookie cutter every day. So you'll find different things every single day. So it's a constant inventory that's changing. So it's kind of, they're so late in the game. And I tell people that all the time, move with the times, even though you don't want an Instagram, put one up so that, you know, and just post pictures about your business. I operated without a website for years. And this was after I closed my catering company that had a website. And mind you, this is, you know, early 2000s, you know, when online ordering was not a big thing, you know, for food and stuff like that. So when I started my consulting company, I didn't have a website and I was just working off of word of mouth. And I had one person who said, how do I know that you are who you say you are? Because I don't see a picture of you online. I don't see a website. I don't see any referrals or anything. So I was like, that's when I knew, like, I should have, you know, had a website. So I just put up a regular landing page and that was it, and was done with it with a couple of reviews and an email capture. And that right there was enough. But I realized that, you know, I've been telling people the same thing, promoting these to these small businesses. Hey, get with the times. Even if you don't are not active on social media, you could schedule the post out for a year. So you look like you're doing something, but do something to stay with the ever changing. You know, you don't have to be on every TikTok or whatever flash in the pan little thing comes up, Twitch and all that other stuff. Well, Twitch is growing because it's owned by Amazon. But that's another story because Amazon takes all the money.
That's why you have to keep coming back, Sean. We're going to keep learning more and more and more. Got to be another conversation. We want to talk about that.
That's a whole other conversation with that one. But changing with the times, and I'm to hear you, Samari, say that, you know, you started out with a website and that's exactly what, you know, this is the time for people to actually do it. Like, you have enough time to sit, point and click. Websites are not so, you know, out of reach anymore. You know, so they come, a template is ready to go. So, I mean, any small business or anyone who wants to start a business now, there's no reason for them to just have business cards. A website is accessible and attainable now. So I totally agree, but I think Ross is going to take, they don't have to, it's a whole nother conversation. They might as well do something else.
Josh, what are you going to say something? Yeah, so I was going to kind of jump on the wagon here and just ask about, you know, we talked about referrals versus, like, you know, have a website or and growth. And my question is, you know, what if you're in an industry where referrals just doesn't get you enough customers fast enough, right? Or you want to grow fast enough. So referrals are always going to be, you know, they're going to be great leads. They're going to come in, you know, they're going to want to do business with you. But what if you're in an industry where, you know, I need to sell 25 houses a month and, you know, I'm only getting three people to refer me houses. You know, I can't just rely on referrals for my business. I need to be able to create new channels of leads and revenue. And that's where marketing really comes in. And I always tell people too, kind of like with the Ross example, it's like that ship already sailed 2 years ago when everybody else in the game had a website and had all their inventory and they weren't selling. And COVID comes in. You know, nobody knew COVID was coming, and it just completely wrecks all of this, you know, all of their referral source or all the people that are customers. They can't go to their store anymore. So as a business owner, you know, you need to think about, do I have four or five lead streams coming in or sales funnels that if two of those are taken away, my business still survives? If I'm only counting on referrals to, for my business, and people stop referring or I get a bad Google review, you know, anybody can go on your Google thing now and leave a review, and then people look at that and they don't want to do business with you, you're screwed, right? And so the other thing too is kind of thinking about demographics with just how things are shifting. When you look at the older demographics, you know, there's still more traditional business there. There's still very much like handshake. I'm going to ask somebody who you used for, you know, do this project in your house. I'm going to ask you who you do use for this business consulting. But if you look at the younger demographics, they're all on social media. They're being influenced by social media every single day. And if your business isn't present there, who do you think those people are going to go to? You know, they're now turning millennials. Yeah, millennials are now in their 30s. You know, they're going to be in their 40s. They're in their prime buying season. So we're going to see in the next 10 years a massive shift, I think, in people, how they engage in business and who they go to, because, you know, if they're seeing the business every single day on social and you're not there, you're losing out on massive opportunity.
I definitely agree. I believe that people have different opinions. That's why I definitely wanted to hear yours and Chandra's, and I'm going to move over to Camille momentarily and get her opinion on it, because people have different preferences with social media. Like for me, I used to be on just about every platform, but then I realized there weren't only 24 hours in a day. Now I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. I won't do Twitter, I won't do LinkedIn for various reasons. I'll just give them to you. Number one, when LinkedIn was started, it was created to find a job. If you needed a job, you find a friend who knew a friend who worked at that position, and they can help you get it in, get into that company. Now it's just, I want to be LinkedIn. And I'm bougie. I tell everybody, and if you're tuning in, it's my show. It is what it is. I don't want to be LinkedIn with everyone. I don't want everyone to have my email address. I don't want everyone to be able to contact me. The people I want to speak with are my friends and my family, which takes me back to Facebook. But I do spend a lot of time on Facebook. People will be like, Sharifa, do you actually work? You know, you work an hour a day. You do one show a day and then nothing else. I'm like, I'm on Facebook, I'm on social media 23 hours a day. I have to comment on every post. That is my philosophy. No comment goes unanswered. No comment goes unanswered. Even if it's just thank you, I have to answer every comment. I have to put out information. So it is a job. Twitter, I found, to me, it's too spammy. Too many ads and bots and different things like that. I'm big on authentic conversations. You know, having a conversation is, I think, to Rhea's point of the referrals, talking to people, getting to meet people. And that was long-winded, but I'm gonna move over to Camille. What are your thoughts on social media as far as business, marketing, engaging, and getting new clients?
Social media is essential. It's essential, plain and simple. Just customer service, for that aspect alone, you have to have a presence on social media. No one wants a company that they can't contact, that they don't feel is accessible, that they don't feel is relatable to them. And that's how you can use social media to connect. Again, in public relations, my job is all about the messaging. What are we communicating to our audience? How are we communicating that to our audience? People want that connection. They want to know that this company has the same values of me. You know, we have the same mindset, if that makes any type of sense. So being on social media, again, I believe is essential. Being digital is highly essential right now, in particular, because we are in the middle of a pandemic. And that is how, that's another pivot moment that I'm trying to get all of my clients to understand, is sustainability. You know, if you want to grow, and God forbid, we don't have another pandemic next year. God forbid it doesn't take us 2 years to recover from this pandemic. But if anything, it's showing us how necessary social media is and this digital space. And that's what I'm encouraging everyone to kind of shift towards right now, is that digital space, you know, allowing people to be connected with you. You know, a couple months ago before the pandemic, people wanted to know who was behind the brand. You know, people are now more invested in the products that they're buying. They're not just simply purchasing something off the shelf. They want to know, what are, again, the values? What is the brand language? Who is the person that's cutting and packaging my meat? I don't literally want to take things at face value anymore. They want to know who is behind the business. How is the business being run? And that's the best way that you can connect with your audience, is having that social media presence. So that's definitely, like I said, essential.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point. And then I'm one of those people that I just like to do stuff just because it's me. But if I'm interested in doing business with a company, and I go to their website and I see their social media, and if I'm at a decision point, I may message them on social media. And it's not really just to see what they say. It's how long it takes them to say it, how long it takes them to respond. Am I going to get a response in 15 minutes, or am I going to get a response in 2 days? You know, what do they say when they come back? Are they just like, hey, we're in business? I'm like, okay, I just sent you a paragraph on this product I want to order, and you came back and said, yes, we're open. It's like, to me, that tells their level of communication, their level of customer service. And I don't know who it was moments ago, was talking about the millennials in their 30s or 40s. I think it was Josh. But, you know, I'm 44. I'm a microwave baby. You know what I mean? If it's not done in 30 seconds or less, I don't want it. You know, and that's the same with businesses. I want that instant gratification. I want that communication that shows me as a business, especially a business owner, that you care about me. Anyone have any comments on that?
Absolutely. No one's waiting for a customer service email. No one's going to go and search the internet for what's the 1-800 number where I can contact you. They're going to go tweet you. They're going to go post it on their Facebook page about, my goodness, why was this line so long? You guys, don't go here. But that's an opportunity for you to stay on top and to respond to the masses in a timely fashion. So again, yeah, social media is very essential.
Yeah, absolutely. And with marketing, you know, you always want to be top of mind, you know, and it's very noisy out there. And so as a business owner, to, you know, engage with your followers and to go live and to do Instagram stories and, to, you know, constantly be active will allow you to be top of mind with that potential customer. I think it's extremely important right now.
Mm-hmm. We actually have, it's very fascinating, because we actually pay someone in my company for our partners to just answer Facebook comments.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we run hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend each month for our partners on Facebook. And you would be amazed at the number of people that comment or send you messages. And most businesses, they just forget about it. They never respond. Do you think that customer is going to buy from you?
No.
No way.
They're not.
No way.
They're not going to buy from you at all. No comment goes unanswered. That's like a military thing for me. No comment. It's like a no kid left behind. It's like no comment goes unanswered. Even if the answer is, let me research that and get back to you. But then get back to them. But I've seen the trend in small to medium-sized businesses to have more communication. But I've seen the trend in medium to large corporations to reduce communication. When you look at companies like Google, when you look at Facebook, Twitter, you know, these kind of companies, they pride themselves on read the FAQ. We don't want to talk to you. We don't have enough employees to talk to you. We don't want to speak to you. Go to the FAQ. Have you seen that as well, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, Facebook used to be notorious for that. You know, you couldn't get on with support even if you tried. A lot of companies don't even have phone numbers anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you go on their website, it's intentionally set up so that you have to go through FAQ and email somebody. And I think you know, they're doing it for valid reasons of, you know, they don't want people just calling all the time. They'd be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But on the opposite end, it is very frustrating as a customer on the platform to have to encounter that. And I think it scares a lot of business owners away. And so, you know, you normally have to have, you know, someone like us or, you know, someone who understands the platform kind of be that middle person to help you with the issue. And I think it would be in better interest of these platforms. Like Facebook has done a really good job in the last year of actually when you join the platform, they have somebody reach out as an account manager, which I thought was a big step for them.
Yes.
And you kind of started to see that a little bit more with these companies as they've grown and they've understood that these people are trying to give you money. Like we're trying to give you money to do stuff on your platform. Let's make it really easy for us to do that. And it's in their best interest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to speak directly to everyone who's watching the show live on Facebook, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archive, whether it's on my website, whether it's on YouTube, whether they just came back to the Facebook page, and just let everyone know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So we're going to start with Chandra.
Okay, great. My name is Chandra Gore, and my takeaways today were learning more about compassionate marketing, and that is a thing. And I'm kind of glad that, you know, my thought process was great. I think that's about it. And that can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Seagore Consults or Chandra Gore Consulting, and the PR Collective DC. So.
I love it. They have to check it out. Rhea, what do you have for us?
So I think that 65% of the work can be done digitally. And, you know, it is very important to be credible, visible. And it is, you know, so this is the most important part that any business can learn is that it's okay if I don't have to go out. It's okay if, you know, I'm not going anywhere else. I can do it right from here. I can. And if I'm not able to do it, I might learn something and I might start something. So I think that's the biggest getaway. And this COVID has taught us enough that, you know, you just don't need things to get things done. It's just, you know, it just happens, right? Sitting from your house in your pajamas.
But what if you're tired of sitting at home in your house in your pajamas? What do you do then?
You know, people are you know, my friends, they are kind of, they're scolding me. You know, how are you sitting here? This is COVID is not nice. We are missing everything. And I have been quarantined since 2 years. This has been my life. I get up, you know, it's like, but when you love something and you think that that's your thing and that's your service that you want to provide, it does not matter. The place does not matter. And it's like, you can go get away. There are getaways. There are, you know, you can go party. But I think if you can do something right from your house, you don't have to invest and go out and, you know, I mean, it's just a perspective.
No, I mean, that's why we're here, for all of us to share our perspective. That's why we have a roundtable discussion. What may work for me may not work for you. What works for you may not work for Samori. We don't know. And I was curious because, again, I've been someone who's working from home. Do you do things to make your work from home day, you know, a little easier? One of the things that I'll give, for instance, that I've added to my day and my day job is now I'm walking an hour every day. I do the show at 8. At 9, I get ready for my walk, and then we walk for an hour. But it helps to break up the day because I'm in the house 24/7. So I wanted to know if you had anything like that as well.
So it might be the toughest for me because I'm just 22 years old, and I haven't done my college life or something. You know, it's like, so when I see my friends hanging out, having fun, it is difficult. I tried learning it, but now I found out that I'm very passionate. I love playing badminton. I love hitting the gym and, you know, I love hanging out with my colony friends. So these are like the you know what, the happy things of the day. So yeah, that motivates me.
Well, that was good because you gave me the answer I was looking for you there, Rhea, because Rhea kept saying, my friends are partying. My friends are partying. I'm like, wait a minute, there's no in between the party yet. And she's like, I love badminton. Badminton, exercise, all those things help when you're working from home. Josh, what do you have for us?
Yeah, big takeaways today is just that, you know, if you're not in the digital game or if you're considering the digital game, it's time to jump in, you know, full heartedly. Make sure that You know, you just get the basics up, a website, your social media profiles. And if you're really concerned about the future, just know that your business can grow when the economy is really good and that it when the economy is really bad. So digital allows you, as Tamari said, the technology allows you to grow your business in new ways you never thought possible. You can check us out if you're interested in some business growth for your business. Check us out at conklinmedia.com or profitpaths.com. We'd love to talk with you and we can do a free one-on-one consultation.
What is Profit Paths?
So Profit Paths is our trademark term of basically a really nice marketing funnel. So we kind of break down a business into separate profit paths. So your business might have five different revenue sources and we create a marketing plan for each profit path. So if you're selling software as a service, but you also have consulting, those would be two separate profit paths that we develop a marketing plan for.
Okay, so the show is still going on, but right now it's just you and I, Josh. So ignore everybody else, ignore the audience. We got to help Ash Sharifa out here. Is that expensive for you to create a profit path for me? I need different profit paths.
Yeah, it really depends on you know what channels you're looking at doing. But I would say, you know, there's multitude of options. So the first step would be just kind of identifying, you know, where do you want to go and how do you want to get there? And then getting some marketing consulting and advice on that. And then we would develop the path together.
No, the reason I asked, was it expensive? Because I talked to so many CEOs and executives and top people in the game. And I'm like, this is what I need help with. And they're like, okay, we'll have a consultation. Then I contact them and they're like, okay, it's $5,000 for your consultation. I'm like, well, that was my marketing budget. So I'm like to know with profit paths, like what is, you know, is it reasonable? Is it too expensive? Something a sister can't afford?
Yeah, it's not super expensive. So we do the free consultation. Like it doesn't cost you anything to do that with us. We outline it for you, you know, and then we give you, you know, pricing based on, you know, what your actual needs are. And I always tell people when you're looking at price, look at, you know, what the cost is to not do the profit path or what the cost is to your business. Because, you know, when people ask about what's expensive, well, to some businesses, $1,000 a month is expensive. To other businesses, $10,000 a month is not expensive, right? So it really is catered to your business and where you're at and your needs. And, you know, I've had a lot of people come to me and we might even say to them, hey, we're not the right people for you, but here's a really good source for you to use that has a little more experience that might be a little more cost effective for you. We're not afraid to say that.
Okay, don't be afraid to say that to me when I call you, Josh, because I need some profit paths to make Ash Sharifa a lot more profitable. So I will be talking to you. I got distracted, but let me get back to the final words from Samori.
All right, Sharifa, thank you for having me on. This has been a fantastic experience. What I've taken away from today is, you know, now is the time. You know, we're in this new virtual world and now is the time. If you wanted to start that podcast, if you wanted to write that book, if you wanted to build that content, let's do it now. Most of us are in quarantine right now. So take that time. A lot of times what will separate the person who launches that product or business from the person that doesn't is just doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so just do it. Now, if you're trying to navigate this virtual space, if you have a home studio, if you want to understand how to get better recordings, how to produce music, or really launch that music business, I encourage you to visit homestudiotutor.com/coaching. We can set up a free 15-minute tutorial. I'd love to learn more about your goals, the things that you're trying to do. You know, we can discuss revenue streams. We can discuss copyright, publishing, equipment. Even if you just wanted to do a live stream or do some live broadcasting, I'd love to give you some consultation on how to do that in the most effective ways. But again, Sharifa, thank you. I appreciate it. And I definitely hope to come back soon.
You are so welcome. And you know what, Samori, you don't have to hope. Just go to AshSharifa.com and click on Be a Guest. So we're almost finished. And just like Josh, I use this opportunity to better Ash Sharifa. I have to get out there. I want to be on NBC News as well. So take us out, Camille. Tell us what you can do and what you want us to know.
Absolutely. And thank you. I want to piggyback on what Samori was saying. A lot of people may have just heard, oh my gosh, invest myself. I don't have the money, but that's no longer an excuse. I know he mentioned some products like the iRig. Those are all things that you can write off for your business. And a lot of people may not know that. Invest in yourself, write it off as marketing, write it off as advertising, use this time, like he said. But again, my major takeaway is going to be piggybacking off of what Chandra said. And that's all about that compassion marketing. What's your CSR at this time? How do you care? People want to align with organizations that value them as a customer, that value their employees. Look how Twitter just changed their whole process of business, how all of their employees are now able to work from home. They have that option to do so. I align with companies that care about their employees like that. So if you know, want to rely on that word of mouth, focus on your CSR and communicate that to your audience. If you don't know what your message is at this time, if you don't know how to, you know, utilize digital at this time, I think focusing on that care aspect, that compassion aspect is really key. It was even seen with Zoom. You know, Zoom right now is the place to be, but there's also Microsoft Teams. I don't know if you guys saw the commercial go up about Microsoft Teams and how they care. That is the message right now. So it's all about CSR. If you don't know what CSR is, come on over to Montage PR or the PR Collective, and we can definitely get you on the right track.
That's wonderful, because when I get off the phone with Josh, I'm going to give you a call, because we're going to get Ab Sharifa out there. I'm going to take all some more of these notes and give me some audio so I can have me a mic. The mic may not even be on, but it looks professional. It looks like I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to have that right there. Like,
and write it off.
Camille, you know it. So I had a wonderful time today. I want to thank all our guests for joining us today. Please come back, because you shared so much information with everyone. I want to thank all our guests. I want to thank everyone who tuned in live to watch the show, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives. Please share the show. Your friends want to know all the information that we shared with you today. Our guests have given up their time, their energy, and their brand to be able to help you. So help them by sharing the show and reading their descriptions and visiting their website in the post. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you.